calling all Rudies. You are listening to the Scarpone's Sound Off podcast. It's a message to you, Rudy.
About on a big space opera. I remember where I was when Lennon got shot. The summer of 76, Lord, that was hot. Spangled sweets and a panda pop. An ice cream van and a lemon top. The years are rolling past me, rolling bloody quickly. There's more behind me than there is in front. These childhood memories of how it used to be. Could hold but the sands of time, the rolling years, the clocks that chime. The lines on my face can be read like a story to tell of my life, my pain and glory. I remember the $6 million. Preston Puppets, Frothy Man, Kojak's Lolly, Mork and Mindy, John Travolta and your sister Cindy. I remember the day they introduced new pens. Remember watching Jaws and feeling tense. Towering Inferno and Rollerball. Grease is the word, we watched them all. The years are rolling past me, rolling bloody quickly. There's more behind me than there is in front.
Hello and welcome to episode 5. Yes, episode 5. We've even lasted this long of the Scarpone Sound Off podcast. And this week it's not Alicia Keys, it's Stephon Keys. So with me tonight is the wonderful, the enigmatic, the charming Mr. Steve Cummings, Scarpone's keyboard player. Hey there, Steve.
Are you there?
Hello. What's that? What's
you
that?
There?
I'm there. Are you
good man? Good man. I thought you'd like that.
I did. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, mate. Yourself?
Good. Yes, it's been a while since we saw each other, really, hasn't it? I think
it's
the stupid effing COVID thing that we're stuck in.
Oh, so true.
What do you do? Are you keeping well? I mean, I think we spoke briefly the other day, and you said that the COVID had struck nearby, hadn't it, or something?
Yes, the one of the next door neighbours has tested positive. Brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in the next street. They've both tested positive.
Yeah, it's one of the classes at Jack's school today has been sent home at Maldon because they've had a positive test. So yeah, this is pretty much all about, isn't it? But don't worry, the government have a vaccine.
Oh, great! Yeah, 94%. Even Domestos managed 99%. You know,
he's on form. It's early doors. So, Mr. Cummings. Well, a lot of people. I mean, people see obviously at gigs, and I know you've written some of the good stuff on the for the Scarpones and things like that. So I know I've got a bit of apple in my teeth. There we go. Right. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared.
It never happened with Wogan.
But yeah, but you know, the thing is, right? I just seen today that are they on about mouthwash killing COVID now?
Yeah. Yeah. Invest in Listerine.
I've got some. I bought an outer today before they all go mad with it.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'll have to try that on gig night.
Ooh. You can tell he's at distance. But yeah, so like I said, people know you from the band and stuff, and they know that you co-write and written some great stuff for us as well. And we've been, like, over the past few weeks, we've been talking to each band member and stuff like that. You know, Kev comes from a punk background, and Mark's a ska man, Michael's a reggae man, Brownie. Brownie was interesting because last week he confessed to being a goth DJ.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I was gobsmacked, I'll be honest with you.
You can tell from the hair.
I thought it was the makeup, to be honest. But anyway, I digress. But you have got a bit more, because, I mean, we call you the musical arranger of the band, the musical director sort of thing, which you are, because you've got an advanced musical knowledge. And so your background is far more eclectic, isn't it?
I guess so. I had a very classical training.
Yeah.
I went through the piano grades, as most people do, and a few double bass grades and voice grades with the associated board.
Yeah.
Picked up little bits and pieces along the way.
Yeah. Did you study it at university or whatever, or?
Trying to think. My main qualification is business. I have a business HND from New College.
Interesting.
And I have a sort of an associate qualification with the Birmingham School of Music.
Oh, excellent. That's good.
I did vocal studies with them.
Yes, well, I mean, I think anybody that listens to the Scapone stuff will realise it's the harmonies that you provide, which really do, you know, can lift a song to great heights and stuff. So you've, excuse me, what was your first band? What was your first musical sort of, you know, into, so to speak?
I was brought up on a fairly strict diet of Beatles, Simon Garfunkel, and Mantovani.
Interesting. To be honest with you, this is a lot worse.
Yeah. That was the parents' record collection.
Class, love it. So what was your first band though? What was the first thing you did musically?
I started off going to Ramside Hall Hotel.
All right.
I used to fill in on piano and a little bit of bass guitar with the guy who played there on the nights.
Oh yeah, exactly. So this was your first job, was it?
That was like the Ray Moore Trio.
Wow. So what were they singing like Golden Oldies and things like that?
Yeah, you'd crap like Spanish Eyes and
Well, there's a call for it, you know.
There is. Not from the people who were in the hotel.
Show that shirt off.
Yeah, they'd rather be left alone.
So is it just like background music or?
Pretty much, yeah. A few sort of got up and had a dance occasionally when they'd had enough to drink. And so this time of year, I used to do what they called the Ramside Singers as well, where four or five of us would all dress up in sort of Victorian.
Oh, Lord.
Wandered around the various bars doing carols.
Have you got pictures?
No, absolutely not.
So what did you do from there then? I mean, have you actually been... I mean, I know you've played in these sort of bands quite a lot throughout your time, and you've also been, you know, part of rock and country and all sorts of stuff, really, haven't you? So have you been, like, in an original band before all this?
No.
Right, okay.
No. I honestly thought there'd been enough good songs written over the years, and there wasn't anything I could add to it.
Fair enough. It's a good comment. I don't know, though.
There's never been much money up till now, to be brutally honest, in original bands.
This is true.
Not sort of level.
Mm. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm drinking my tea.
It's okay, mate. It's okay.
So, now, this is interesting as well, I always thought, and it's, and in fact, it's more than interesting. It's a huge thing, isn't it? And not a lot of people know this, but you have played with Carl Perkins, haven't you?
Yes, it was. It would be in 1980. Let's have a look. I've got it written down.
He's made some notes, you know.
I've come prepared. Now let's have a look. Yeah.
Was it?
It would be in around August 97.
All right, okay. So that's not that too long ago.
No. He came over, and his last credited public performance was the Royal Albert Hall.
All right, cool.
In September 97 at a charity gig. Wow. And he came over about a month early, and he did a couple of the UK festivals.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's a massive thing, because obviously he's a megastar.
And
right,
we got to back the man at one of them.
Wow.
It was fantastic, you know.
Was it daunting for someone of that caliber to be playing, you know, for you to be playing with someone of that caliber? Or was you at a stage where, you know, you just thought you felt comfortable in yourself? Or
It was terrifying. every gig is until you get on and play the first note.
That's right, that's right.
Even after I've been gigging since I was about 15, so 35 years now. If you don't feel something before a gig, you don't care.
No, I think that's my thoughts as well. And what do you have like a pre-gig? I don't know, not ritual. Well, ritual, I suppose you call it. Is there something that you do particular, or what do you do?
The bigger gigs, I tend to just sort of distance myself for 5 minutes before I go and just put my head in over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, the one time it didn't work was Middlesbrough Town Hall. With the specials. That was the first time in my gig in life that I've actually gone on stage and froze.
Did you freeze? I don't recall you freezing.
I absolutely froze.
To be honest with you, I was watching some footage back the other night, and we were so... Well, we'd played in the afternoon, hadn't we? We played at the Dinner Town, do you remember?
Crookfest,
that's right. And we came out of there. I mean, we came out and played about, was it 200 miles an hour, didn't we? this nervous energy, just, you know.
Yeah. I'm very, very proud of the Scarborough gig we did the night
after. Oh, Scarborough. For me, that's the best.
Was survival.
Yeah. Middlesbrough really. Was. It was survival and not... It was walking out into the big unknown as well, wasn't it?
It turned very real when the lights went down.
Yeah, shit.
I didn't like the fact I couldn't see the audience.
Yeah, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
I like to be able to see an audience and make some sort of connection.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, the thing is, you could only see the first row, couldn't you? You know, virtually.
That's right.
You know, and after that, it was just all black, wasn't it? And it's the same at Scarborough, although I saw a little bit more. But for me, Scarborough was the best gig, I think. And
by a long way.
You know, and the fact that, you know, I mean, we're all there really early to soak up the day. And it was just fantastic, wasn't it? You know, I mean, the specials were on form as well, weren't they? You know,
They were. I didn't piss Horace off at Scarborough either.
The bassist might have done.
That put me on edge at Middlesbrough.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's the way they are, isn't it? You know, and they don't know. I mean, they didn't know you, so they didn't know what you were doing or whatever. You know, you could have been somebody from the town.
They've earned the right to be like that over the year. it's their gig, it's their environment, and you play by their rules.
Yeah. So, I assume that throughout your history, you've played plenty of big gigs, I suppose, festivals and things like that. I assume.
Yeah, done a lot of festivals.
Have you played abroad? Have you played international? Have you played international or Europe or?
I did choir festivals around Europe when I was sort of first coming up.
All right, okay, that's good.
Went to Denmark in 1985 with the County Youth Choir. Did some stuff there and a few things around Germany.
That's brilliant, though. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's all part of the learning process, isn't it?
You take something from every style of music you do and you find you regurgitate it.
So if I was to say to you, what is your favourite style of music? What would you say?
Oh, grief.
Said it's going to be winging it.
Yes.
If you had to be put on the spot. Like you are now.
I had to be put on the spot.
Yeah, of course. I do it to them all every week.
I'm big fan of Billy Joel and Elton John, obviously, with the piano aspect of it.
Yeah,
and
of course,
the way those guys play is a class above anything I've ever produced or ever will produce. And just to be able to sit back and appreciate what they're doing while they're singing at the same time, a lot of it is quite breathtaking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a lot of admiration for people like that, obviously, because you don't get to where you are by not being as good as you are. You know what I mean? That's the way to look at it, you know. I mean, they, you know, I mean, I think music's changed so much, especially nowadays, that it's going to be hard for many people to reach those heights again, I think, really, unless you're somewhat extra special. But
that's right.
You know, we were all around, and they were around at a very good time for the music industry, weren't they?
That's very true. You know, I mean, I've said to you before, I think a lot of the time now the record companies have got a bit lazy. They're waiting for people to approach them with stuff rather than going out and looking for it.
Well, I listened to the top 40 the other day. And I listened to the top 40 the other day, and everything sounded the same. Everything sounded the fucking same, honestly. It was shocking. You know, electro produced shit. And you know, auto tuned to fuck. Not that I use it.
No.
We never use Melodyne in the studio, ever.
No. those 40 minutes to sing one note never happened.
or the hundred takes of Mask of Anarchy. No.
I was thinking You Can't Let Go.
Yeah, I was as well. But I was thinking both. But every time I sing that bit in Mask of Anarchy, I just look at your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, God, I won't roll. So, for those that don't know, Steve wasn't our first keyboard player. We had Joel before him, but now you're part of the woodwork, and you've been here how long now?
5.5 years.
Wow. How did you get into us? If you want to tell the story.
Well, the first gig was April 2015. I think it was just before Christmas 2014. I was looking through a Join My Band,
that well-known
Bible of local music. Was it Darlington-based ska band, once occasional depth player? And I thought, oh, great, the Gangsters of Ska must be restarting.
Yeah. Wash your mouth out.
That sounds all right. We'll have a look at that. It very nearly didn't happen because you and I were in touch for a while.
That's right.
And then you were sending emails to me that weren't getting through.
All right. Okay. I don't remember.
You'd asked me to come to one rehearsal. I'd missed it because the email just happened. I think you'd assumed that I just wasn't.
All right. I don't remember that. Yeah.
And I finally got back to you with an email and we got it organized.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And
because the first gig was Albert Hill, wasn't it?
It was. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that one. Yeah.
That's when I got insulted in the toilets.
Yes.
As you do in Darlington's social clubs. So, like you say, you become part of the woodwork now. So, was when we made the sort of leap from? I mean, one of the reasons I decided that we should do our own album and go as an original band was because we had enough people in that band at that time who were very good at music, and you were for me one of the key reasons. Wow, we knew, because you knew exactly what, you know. I said this the other day to somebody when I did a podcast, but although I don't play an instrument, I'm still in awe of people of what they can do. And the way you can pluck out a chord or, you know, you can give, you know, a chord. It's just amazing. I love to watch it. And it's to be able to, I don't know, I've just got a blank mind. So, but I come from an old punk background where nothing mattered. Do you know what I mean? Didn't need to learn it. Just didn't give a fuck. But listen to people who know what they're on about is an amazing thing. You know, like I like to watch Mark play his guitar. Shh.
Well, yes.
I know. I'm a masochist, I know. And, but, you know, I like watching keyboards and brass play and stuff like that. And I was discussing this with Brownie last week. So, you know, I think, you know, you're one of the main reasons, because I thought, right, we've got the lineup here that we can go and do this sort of thing. I mean, was you worried about the jump?
Yes, to be quite honest, because you sort of think, God, how are we going to do this? You know, I've never attempted anything like this before, and
had you not written anything or
no, that I can think of. You scribble a few things down occasionally, but nothing that ever gets anywhere.
It's and
you think it takes some balls to sort of put yourself
completely
that and to be shot at.
I do. but there is a massive kudos in doing it, isn't there? You know, no matter
there
how
is,
hard
I
it is.
Mean, like I said, Cradle to Grave, I just had that little
brass
I had that in my head for years and nothing to use it with.
Awesome.
And we just hit on something with that first song. And I think that first song was so popular.
Yeah.
it gave the confidence to sort of push on.
Absolutely. I think that's what it was. I think it was the catalyst, yeah. Wasn't it? If it had flopped and no one gave a shit.
I was going to say, if it had sunk without Trace, I think there'd have been a lot of sort of looking at each other and are we doing the right thing here?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, and since then, it's just got better and better and better and better. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
yeah,
I was talking, you know, your contributions, if you look at Birth Fly High, in fact, you know, there's not many now, isn't there? You know, because you've also been involved on Smart. You know, I think you're always there in the background, even if you don't get credited, are you? You know,
yeah.
Advising and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, but what's your favourite Scapone track then? Is it one you've written or is it, you know, I don't know.
Give me a few seconds to think. I really like playing Dorian.
Dorian's good. Yeah, I love Dorian. Yeah,
I do enjoy playing Dorian because...
Well, I think you've done well with that because I think your sustained chords and your piano bits lift it.
It's a different style of playing from the first album.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the idea.
It's a bigger sound. And it is. That's the one I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because, I mean, Brownie was, you know, I mean, you look at like when it's gone and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Which is an absolute rip-roar of a track. Absolute bounder. I mean, it's one of the best songs we do live, I think. That and Cradle. We're getting there. We're getting there. But, you know, I want to thank you. So on record, how grateful we are, you know, that you do what you do because it's an amazing thing to create stuff, you know. I mean, like I say, it's, you know, I can write lyrics and I say when I've added little bits and stuff and that, but it's nothing major. But no, I'm well in awe of people that can do things like that. Do you find it, as now as time's gone on, have you found it easier?
I can sit and watch the telly some nights and Amanda will be sat with me and the fingers will start. I'll start playing on the table.
I got a tune.
I can hear what I'm playing.
Yeah, yeah. That's brilliant.
Just by pressing my fingers down on the table, you think, that's not bad. I'll have a go at that tomorrow. So, I'll remember that and sort of tomorrow to see if anything else comes of it. But everyone that works, there's 9 or 10 that don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the way of the world, isn't it, when it comes to stuff like that, you know. Right, what we've been doing, of course, over the course of these podcasts is getting whoever's on to pick some tunes. Some tunes, and it's been interesting because they've been, like I said, they've been across the board. I mean, Mark had the Doors and Elvis, and Kev had a lot of punk and stuff like that. Brownie had Killing Joke and a bit of reggae and it cost them. But I've just been looking at yours, and well, they're very, very good, aren't they? Very, very, very good. So, so the first one you've got, what we'll do is we'll play it, and when we come back. You can tell us why, can't you? So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steve Cummings' first choice is AC fucking DC was Shot in the Dark. Back in a minute.
Take
listen to old men talking amongst themselves, you've got the Scapones Sound Off podcast.
Oof, some hard rock from AC/DC shot in the dark, of course, the Aussie rockers. The first choice of my guest this evening, Mr. Steve Cummings, Scapones keyboard player extraordinaire! Stevie boy, why? Why is that one of your favourites?
It's the lead single from the brand new album Power Up, which has just come out in this last week.
Are you glad Brian Johnson's back?
Oh, so glad. Axl Rose was okay, but he just didn't quite have the depth that they wanted, I don't think.
No, he's a bit of a crank, isn't he?
Brian's great.
Yeah.
So he's 73 year old now and still...
He still sounds great.
Cranking out but like that. And to say he's come back from... He risked losing his hearing and they've got that sorted out. And they're saying if the COVID thing sorts out, they can consider going out live again for a few times.
Wow.
They've managed to get him a bespoke monitor system. He's the only man, the one in the world who has it, apparently.
Because was he nearly deaf at one point?
Yes, he was on the last tour. The reason he dropped out was he couldn't pitch. His ears were distorting the guitar sound. Had told me he was risking losing the hearing permanently.
Oh, Jesus.
So he dropped out the last few months of the tour and Axel sort of offered to do it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So is AC/DC one of your favourite bands then?
It has been for a lot of years. It's just, it's simple, straightforward power music.
Balls out rock and roll, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of the bands I've got a good history of depping with bands. I started off doing that with the Scapones.
Yeah.
And I did the same for Six the Best back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And they were doing things like Whole Lotta Rosie and...
Was this a band based in the Northeast that did clubs and things like that?
Yeah. At the time, they were the band in the Northeast. Mm. They were making serious, serious money.
Yeah.
And hooked up sort of 2-3 years in advance. But they were a Bill Dixon band.
Oh, right, yeah. If anyone doesn't know that, Bill Dixon is a massive club band entrepreneur, isn't he? Is he still going?
There are still bands out with the Dixon Agency stickers on them.
Wow.
Whether Bill is still in day-to-day charge, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was definitely a powerhouse of man to be reckoned with.
I've heard all the stories as well, you know. And,
yeah.
They're just all legendary out there nowadays, you know. So, I mean,
that's right.
You know, I think every sort of region has a sort of Bill Dixon anyway, doesn't it? Always has somebody
that
encompasses... You know, the whole thing, you know, it's a bit like Phoenix Knights in points.
That's right. He was making double the money of any single band member.
Wow, that's crazy.
On that night, there was he provided the lights and the PA.
Wow.
Which was quite a thing. And the band were regularly on about 1,500 quid a night, sort of 28 year ago.
Bloody
and Bill was taking about 250 of that and... So he said, what am I talking about? He was on that. Half the band were on about £125 a night each.
That's not bad going even by that standard, is it?
That was damn good money. And because he was providing the PA and the lights, he was taking money for that and his normal rate plus the old commission.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it takes people like it to make things work half the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, like I said, I've heard all the stories and stuff like that. So. AC/DC. So when you were younger, right?
Yeah.
Was you? I mean, I was on about with the other ones as well about different youth subcultures and things like that. Was you into any of the youth subcultures? Was you into, you know, was you ever a mod or was you ever a
not remotely?
Not remotely. So what's it like playing for a load of skinheads?
It was a shock to the system. Was it?
Thinking shit. Yeah.
I mean, that I think the first night, so it was the corner flag in Sunderland.
Oh, that was
the skinhead reunion.
The skinhead reunion, Northern Leg.
That was quite a night.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
You know, the thing that I missed the Scar thing first time round.
Yeah. Of course, you are one of the. Are you the youngest?
I was born 1970, so when the specials were coming out, I was only eight or nine years old,
yeah.
And so I remember Madness.
Yep. But they were a bit longer. They had a bit of longevity, didn't they?
Yeah, it's an accent. Not when they were a ska band, though. I cannot do Mark Singer. I can remember Madness when they were still a ska band.
He's just harsh. But that's just him in general.
They were more a pop band by the time I was listening to them.
Well, I think you do need to adapt. I don't care who you are. Yeah. I'd like to think, yes, we're a ska band and stuff. Like, we ourselves are a ska band, but I think there's more to us than just a ska band. I think we can move a little bit of tangents in songs. You know, I mean, if you look at things like, I don't know, Betrayal's different to rest of the stuff, you know, and then, you know, we've just recorded Dynamo, haven't we? The Mud song.
Yes. Yes.
And although there's an offbeat there, you should know, you're right. did the arrangement. But you know what I mean? So there's a lot of, we swing quite a lot about, don't we? You know,
we do.
And I like that. And I think, I mean, one of the things about the Northern Gods album that's coming out is that you've written one for it called Lion's Roar, which is pretty much your tribute to Bob Marley, I think, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
And that's great live. I love it live.
I went through just looking for quotes of Bob Marley quotes. I remember just asking you, can interviews be copyright?
Nope.
Quotes and interviews. I thought, well, yeah, I just looked through and there were so many great quotes, and they just, once you put them together, they seem to flow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it did, didn't it? It's obvious.
It does. It's a great little song. I mean,
the one thing I like about that song is how it picks up when we're doing it live. Is that, you know, you're bouncing through the chorus, and then all of a sudden it just gathers this pace in the chorus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, and just pick. And I love it. You know, and it's an upbeat sounding track. You know,
it's not for a song that's been about for 500 years.
Yeah, this is it.
You look at the chorus. I mean, people say, "Oh, it's Go West," and say, "No, it's All Together Now by the Farm."
Yeah.
And it all goes back to some bloke called Pasha Bell, who, middle ages, who came out with the progression.
Did he?
And it's just all that speeded up.
You're a clever bastard.
Pasha Bell's canon, yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna do a bit of Google, I think, after this, I think. Let's find out what that's all about.
I can't remember the exact dates, but it's
You've done, like I say, you've been a... So, how old was you when you started gigging?
About 15.
See, and now you're 50, aren't you?
Yes, I just turned 50.
35 years. That's a long career, isn't it? It's a long career. What's your... If someone said, you know, going back to the Scapones, obviously, because this is what it's about, in a sense, is what's your highlights?
Things like the 100 Club.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We've been part of history.
Oh, aye. Yeah, absolutely.
You sort of go down, you look at all the others who've been there. And that was some gig I really...
Yes, I think when you're in places like that, it's spine-tingling a little bit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because the place hasn't changed. So when you look at the photographs of them, it looks like it did when we were playing. You know, exactly the bloody same.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to do to do basic club nights with people who actually want to be there.
Yeah, and the good thing I like about the 100 Club, especially maybe because it's just London, there's more people, but it's people just want to go and watch some live music and appreciate what you do, you know. And that's the big difference, isn't it? Whereas if you're up here sometimes, you need that ska crowd or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll remember when the Scapones were first starting, you went to Harrogate Hill Club.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and God. It was just a standard audience who were waiting to play bingo.
Oh, shoot me. Yeah. Fucking shoot me now.
It's great to go into a club where people have specifically come out to see the band and that music.
Hey, I tell you what, you know, the Harrogate Hill. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Not just be in a club where people have sat in the same seats for 30 years and ignored every single turn that's ever been off.
What really got me, but what really got me about that was we played a set for an hour. He says, right, we'll have a break for bingo. And I says, right, okay, how long? Half an hour? He says, no, it'll be another hour. So it was an hour between each set.
Oh, yeah.
And when we came back home, we'd lost the hope to fucking the will to live. You know what I mean? So nobody danced. And what got me was, and you've probably seen it 1,000 times anyway, is at the end, you came up and going, hey, that were right good, that. Didn't dance, you know.
That's what they do.
It's crazy. I mean, but, you know, as a live entertainer, though, you really do need some sort of response, don't you? If it's shit, if they're clapping to fucking boo you off, at least you've got a response.
That's it. They love you. I hate you. At least they care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The comedian's fanfare is the sound of your own footsteps. as stage.
Exit stage left quickly.
Yeah.
Or was it that time? Was it that time Mark was in the gym and someone slipped him a note? And he thought he was getting off with a woman, or she was giving him his number, and it said you're ruining our night. Maybe it's just him.
Notes on stage. Be about 6 or 7 years ago, playing with a country trio at the Neon Club in Jarrah.
All right.
And just about 2 or 3 songs into the second spot, somebody drops a note on the stage. Oh, it must be a birthday. Picks it up and it said, concert secretaries had to go home due to an emergency. You'll have to bring yourselves off. And I thought, well, no, anything for the audience. You know? We've had some requests.
Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen, oh dear, we had to put up with this all the time. It's a good laugh.
I've still got the notes somewhere. I kept it. I thought nobody's ever going to believe this.
That's class. I love stuff like that. That's brilliant. Isn't it? That is Phoenix Nights, isn't it?
We've had some requests, sir. Jimmy.
Jimmy the Berry. Right, we're going to move on. But first, right, we're going to move to another one of your tunes, right? But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause a second. I want you to listen to this.
Listen, boy, I don't want to see you let a good thing slip away. I don't like watching anybody make the same mistakes that I made. Always there for you, but a nice girl wouldn't tell you what you should do. Oh, listen, boy, I'm sure that you think you got it all under control.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was not Billy Joel, of course. That was Steve Cummins. That was Steve Cummins. Steve Cummins, a one-man band. Where was that at?
That was Spennymoor Indoor Bulls Club.
2009, was it, you said?
I was either secretary, I would be secretary of the club at that time.
Oh, was you secretary of the club?
Yeah, and I used to come say to them, come Christmas, New Year, look, I'll either do Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve at half the price that other people would do it, just so you're not having your rights taken out 2 weeks in a row. And that was the New Year's Eve from 2009.
I thought that was pretty good. I mean, I watched the whole video, and
there was more. I promise you, there was far worse than that got cut out. It's about 3 times the length of what I sent you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, though, I've picked that track specifically because it leads perfectly into your second track, doesn't it? And this is one of your heroes, as we just spoke, and you mentioned him early on. This is the piano man himself. This is My Life, of course, which is a well-known track by
Billy Joel.
Mr. Billy Joel. Right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Cummins' second choice. My Life, Billy Joel, a typical keyboard player's choice. Here we go.
Northeast Ska Freaks. You're listening to the Scapones and their Sound Off podcast.
Got a call from an old friend we used to be real.
Billy Joel, My Life. Is anybody surprised that Steve chose that? I'm not so certain. I'm not so certain. But so, come on. I mean, it's obvious, I think, why. I mean, you've already mentioned him, so, but go on.
Yeah. Well, this was released in around 1978, and I remember hearing it on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And my great-grandmother, who lived up in Sacriston, just up the road from us, we lived just out of Durham.
Yeah.
And she had a piano in the front room. And I'm sort of looking at Billy Joel on Top of the Pops and saying, oh, hang on, are you telling me that that thing in Great Grand's front room can do that?
Fantastic.
Oh, I wouldn't mind trying that.
That's awesome. And then,
sadly, she died a couple of years later and we inherited the piano.
All right. Oh, well. Swings and roundabouts.
I got my mother to sort of start me off, little basic scales and things.
Yeah.
And eventually I ended up going to piano lessons with a guy up in Saxon called Will Smith, who taught my mother to play when she was my age.
Will Smith?
He was still, he was about 70, 80 year old and he was still going strong teaching. And it was Will who, I would never have been the player I am, if you like, without him, because he always used to say, you know, bring along anything. We'll try, so long as you do your exam stuff, he says, I don't mind what else you play.
That's good.
And I used to take along stuff like Bridge Over Troubled Water and learn them alongside whatever else I was doing. And if he'd have said, no, you've just got to do the stuff I set you, I would probably have just have turned into a grade passing.
I understand that, and you know, you wanted to have more than that, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a difference between passing exams and being able to play.
No, well, absolutely.
And, yeah.
Well, I mean, Brownie, look at Brownie. He's going for his exams, isn't he? His saxophone and stuff like that. And
That's right.
Bless his own little heart, he didn't think he was much of a sax player by the way he was talking, was it last week? So, it's a bit harsh on himself, I think. You know, he's a bit harsh on himself.
He doesn't realise how good he is.
Thank you very much. So that's what I said to him as well. Yeah.
He does not realise that.
Yeah, I think so. It's good that he's humble, you know, and stuff like that. But so Billy Joel, got a frog in my throat. My Life. You did say him and Elton were, are they your biggest heroes? Would you say?
Piano wise, I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Who else have you got?
I like a lot of the bass players who were kicking about in the 70s.
Yeah, because you play bass as well, haven't you?
I played a lot of bass professionally. I packed in about 5-6 years ago. My neck got too bad. I had very big neck surgery 10 years ago, and eventually I couldn't have the weight of the guitar around my neck.
Right.
It was damaging the pin
that I've got
in my neck, so I had to give that up.
Yeah, you don't want that going, do you?
But the guy who was with Sheik, I think it was I can't remember his surname, I think it's called Bernard.
Yeah, Big Bernard,
things like Good Time and that, when he just like, boom, boom, boom. The gaps are beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I took Ruth to see Sheik, actually, for her 40th birthday in Leeds at Leeds Academy. Yeah. And it was, not being that sort of, it's not my sort of thing, but I really enjoyed the show because the professionalism was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know.
The guy I used to love listening to was a gentleman called Jack Bruce, who I don't know if you've
heard. Yeah, Jack Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Bruce, who was Cream.
I know Jack Bruce, yeah.
Platinum and Ginger Baker.
Yeah.
Three guys who hated each other's guts, but produced absolute magic when they were on stage together.
Well, that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember buying the Cream rock score with all the music for the songs, looking at the bass line, thinking, fucking hell. If that's what you're supposed to be able to do, what's the point?
What's the point? At least you're honest. So it's the question we ask Mark every week, to be honest. What's the fucking point? What are you doing?
I was a good enough bass player to manage in 70s bands and country bands.
Yeah.
I was competent rather than...
So is country a big thing for you?
It used to be, but
I'm not just saying like on a performance level, but I mean on a personal level as well. Was it something you enjoy personally, or was it something you did for money?
Equal. I will be brutally honest and say
that's
it was
right,
that's right. But because I wasn't really into it. I mean, if I took it back, Amanda and I met up again back in October 96.
Yeah.
And Amanda was into a country band's Big Style.
Amanda is Steve's wife, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. And she got me into going to see a few bands. And those people I'd never heard of. Like, I'd never heard of Garth Brooks or Alan Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
A bit like that. And I thought, you think our country's just Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it wasn't until I saw things like Garth Brooks and Billy Ray Cyrus that. So, ever so often, stuff would squeeze into the charts, wouldn't it?
That's right, and that sort of thing.
I mean,
you think country's reached an all-time low, and along comes Billy Ray Cyrus and sets it back another generation.
He did a great job. Yeah, can break your heart.
Yeah, thank God I didn't put that on the solo show. You'd have had that playing.
I would have done.
I already know you.
You're probably better than Billy Ray Cyrus.
No, but there was some really great stuff kicking about then. And I got into the country bands through that.
Cool.
And I did a lot of solo country stuff around the Northeast after that.
Yeah.
But the line dancers spoilt the country scene, really. It got to the point where there was a country scene.
I do find it strange. I have to admit, I do find it.
A line dance thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think 97, we were playing down near Bolton or Formby, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And we were in a church hall and they were charging maybe £2 or £3 to get in. Live music, damn good live band. And there was about 50 people in. And 2 miles down the road at the Formby Hall in Atherton, they had a line dance disco on.
Yeah.
Where you had to bring your own drinks and they were charging about £10 to get in. There was 300 people there.
Jesus Christ.
And they were rather... to a line dance disco because they get the tempos they want.
Yeah. To do what they want to do, yeah.
You knew it was time to pack in. You know, some people used to come up to our drummer and say, excuse me, do you do anything at 136 beats a minute? And Kev, bless him, would say, I'll stamp on your fucking head at 136 beats a minute. Go away.
So the album that I've heard in your car of the rock band you were in, was that original or was it covers, all covers? Was it a bit of both?
It was 99% covers, I must admit.
Right. I thought it was original, wasn't there?
There was one or two original songs.
Because I thought it was quite good, actually.
Yeah, it was well produced.
And what was the name of the band, that?
That was Blue Rose.
Blue Rose, that's it, yeah. Blue Rose.
It was literally done in a couple of days. Up in, I think it was Concert it was recorded in.
All right, let's keep it local.
Little place up in Concert.
Yeah, because I mean, that's and is that band still going or was it?
No, that band finished quite a few years ago.
All right.
The lead singer was going solo for a while, but he's retired in the last few months, Davey.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a massive band in this area called Alexander's Palace. Now, you were part of that, weren't you?
I did a year with Six of the Best.
Right.
Who became Alexander's.
Oh, right. Sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I got mixed up.
The bass player broke his wrist or something like that. Yeah. Now I was working for Williams and Darlington at the time.
Yeah.
One of their guitarists was the manager of Williams in the Metro Centre.
Yeah.
And that's how it got done.
Oh, cool.
It was an experience.
Well, the thing is, that's what you need, isn't it? It's all part of the musical experience, isn't it? The growing experience, isn't it? You know.
That's right. I mean, I didn't quite have the hair.
You what?
I didn't quite have the hair.
You have for this band. speaking of this, excuse me. I mean, obviously, we've done a hell of a lot in a short period of time, really.
Yeah.
There's been, you know, I've shaved your head over the sink a couple of times, I think, and.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
We blocked the sink in. Was it in Harrow? Was it Harrow?
Yes, it was.
We blocked the sink up, didn't we?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I grabbed hold of Steve and I bicked his head. Yeah, I did.
That's the Dublin Castle show we don't talk about.
You know, tell you what, it's like Brownie said, he said to me last week, he said, did you ever see if I had anything in my eye when I was in Ireland? I said, I can't talk about Ireland, I'm scarred.
Yeah.
By the way, We recently had a stream. We did a live stream on the Irish International Ska Fest, which went online because obviously it had been cancelled. So we had a live, we sent them a live set and streamed it. And I got a message from the lady there who runs the ice cream store. Says, next time we go, we can get free ice cream.
Woo-hoo! Oh, wonderful. Was that the one I found right the way along the other end of the seafront?
I think it is. It's the only one we went to, I think, isn't it? You know,
I can sniff these places out.
Especially, they were massive ice creams then, weren't they?
God, yeah.
God, they were tall, weren't they? Massive. Huge. It's brilliant.
I had my wrecked knee that weekend, but it was worth the pain to get along the seafront.
Oh, yeah, you had your thing on your strap, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. And then you fell off backwards from the pub, do you remember?
Yes, I recall that. I leapt back and the wall stopped sooner than I thought it did.
Just left him laying there. The landlord's going, yes, are you going to pick him up, lads? Nah, he'll be all right. He'll be here in a minute.
The whole of the pub came running to help, apart from my own band members who just sat there in hysterics.
Oh, dear. God bless you. Yeah, right. So we're going to move on now. We've got another one of your tracks. Now, I can't read one thing. I should have glasses on because I need readers. I can't see what I put. Is it some? This is the wonderful Darts. Now, Darts are a great band. They still are, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes.
And what's this called again? Sometime lately. Sometime lately. That's it. Tell you what. Tell us before it starts why you've picked this.
I love voices. I love unaccompanied voices from my choir backgrounds.
Of course.
You know, and this was never released as a single.
Oh,
and I only ever heard of it because I bought, for some reason, it was on Dart's Greatest Hits, so even though it was never released as a single.
Maybe it's a bonus track as well.
And it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Just the way it was put together.
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like Darts. You know, I mean, not the younger generation now, because they won't even know they are, but people of our age, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like them.
Yeah. Another band that still go to the 100 Club regularly.
Is it the full lineup or?
I don't know. I know that the last time I saw them, they had Den Hegarty was back.
Den Hegarty, yeah.
And Bob Fish, who used to wear the leopard skin jackets.
Yeah, Bob Fish.
He was back because he'd had a Brian Johnson type issue with tinnitus and he'd had to pack in.
All right, okay.
Back in the early 80s.
What was the girl called? Can you remember what she was called?
Rita Ray.
Was she in the band or?
Yes, she was still there. She'd been Den Hegarty's, Griff Fender's girlfriend for about 45 years.
Oh, wow. Bloody hell.
Most of Darts came from Rocky Sharp and the Razors.
Oh, my God. Because Rocky Sharp went to form the Replays, didn't he, as well?
That's right. The Razors was pre-Replays. And I think that Griff Fender, who was the guy with the eyebrow, if you remember the big V eyebrows.
The big, yeah.
Bob Fish, at least, had both been vocalists with Rocky Sharp.
It's mad, isn't it? It's small world.
They already had this vocal blend between them.
Yeah.
Took it into Darts. I love Darts. They were absolutely fantastic.
Because, I mean, there's people I know on Facebook who are, excuse me, I've got a frog in the throat again. People I know on Facebook who are massive Darts fans, they're always going to Darts gigs and stuff like that, which is good to see.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly, you know, they're still going, obviously, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying two, three times a year. You still see him at the 100 Club.
For those that have no recollection of Darts, of course, what's the biggest hit, Steve?
Daddy Cool.
Yeah.
Girl Can't Help It. Then there was a Come Back My Love.
Did they do Duke of Earl?
Yes, I was just going to say the other one's Duke of Earl.
Yeah. So there's some cracking tunes, isn't there?
I think that was after Den Hegarty had left when they did Duke of Earl.
Well, it's funny because I was on about getting into music myself to Mark on our podcast, and I was saying it's funny that my way in was listening to things like what my auntie was listening to. So when she was quite young, she was roughly a teenager at the time. So I was picking up on the Bass City Rollers and all the glam stuff. And then, I remember buying Once Upon a Star, the album. I must have been six, seven. But when I started to find my own true way, I started exploring myself. It was Elvis Presley. They were one of the very first things I ever bought. I bought a box set of his cassettes. And it's just this rock thing. I think I always find, I mean, I still find rock and roll. It's pure rock and roll. Still like, even exciting now.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, so, you know, and it's not, people don't seem to realize that without, you know, it's, you talk about ska and things like that, but probably, you know, if there had been no rock and roll, you wouldn't have had any ska music or any reggae. It's all formative, and it all comes, you know, the Jamaicans picked it up listening to American rock and roll and blues and, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
I was looking this up the other day, and if you go back, everybody says, oh, Bill Haley, Rock Around the Clock. But if you go back to 1947, 1948, Hank Williams had a song out called Move It On Over. So it came in last night around 10:30, the baby and mine. So move it on over. It is just whoever wrote Rock Around the Clock should have their ass royally sued. all they did was change the words. The rock and I think back in the late 30s, there was things, rock and roll was being mentioned in lyrics.
Yeah.
If the devil grabs your soul, you better start the rock and roll, things like that.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, it's all, you know, music's all interconnected, all interwoven.
That's right.
You know, people, you talk about hip hop and rap and stuff. It's all that links back to reggae and ska and everything. Do you know what I mean? You know, and so it's all, everything's interlinked, and people tend to forget that, you know. Even when I was a kid, though, when I was a young skinhead, we used to chase teddy boys. But that was for the fun, not for the music. Yeah. But right, so we've digressed. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sometime Lately by the wonderful Darts, Mr. Steve Cummins, third choice.
Like your ska music? Then listen to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.
Sometime lately, I find my mind just drifting away. Sometime lately, I find that I've got nothing to say, and the dreams that were mine are gone and lost in time. Sometime lately, I miss you, my love. Sometime future, the cry my heart will not be so strong. That time future, the nights won't seem quite as long, but I'll know for my pain, a part of me will never live again. Sometime future, I want you, my love. The past that I feel is all too strong and clear. The now that I live is set in these tears. The hopes, the fears, the light of you in my years will never, not ever, forever return to my life. Sometime maybe, when I can laugh with the crowd, that time maybe, the cry in my heart will not be so loud. Then a love I can find, a love that's far more kind. Sometime maybe, I can forget you, my love.
We're getting you down. The news depressing you. Get a load of the Scapone Sound Off podcast now.
So, sometime lately, Darts. Steve Cummins, third choice. Steve, explain why he listened to that one and why he likes it. So, Steve, going to gigs and things like that and stuff. You mentioned at the specials gig that you like to see an audience, you know, not just the first row. What do you prefer? Do you prefer audience that are in your faces, or do you prefer me? You know, what sort of setup do you prefer as a performer?
I'm trying to think of the place we did New Year a few years ago, where the people were so up and in the face. Was it Loft? Not Loft.
Lingdale's.
Yes.
Lingdale,
I found the first one of them a little bit intimidating because the people were so in the face. Things were getting kicked over. And
Those three guns with equipment getting spilled covered in beer and shit.
Yeah, I was genuinely worried that somebody would get hurt or someone would get kicked over.
You see, they're my favorite type of gigs, but you don't tend to think when you're actually in the swing of it, for me anyway, personally, that you don't tend to think about the safety of equipment. I do now, and it becomes probably because I have to own half of the stuff.
That's it. Now you haven't to buy it and replace it. You just don't start.
But it's a strange thing. But so you'd prefer some a bit more medium sort of size, would you?
I love to see a full dance floor.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
If people are up and they're dancing, it's because they feel moved to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If they feel moved to do it, you're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that's been
No matter how you think it's going, look at what the people are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
That's the key for me. Cause I'll sit at the back and I'll think, God, no, so much wrong. It's so many wrong notes. And people are going mad. So they've had a great time. So you've got to take that from it.
So this is it. This is what I'm saying. You know, well, we've said to ourselves, haven't we? Fucking hell, we got out of that lucky, didn't we? Because we were terrible. But they're all going, oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. And you think, great. Yeah. You know, that'll do, mate. We'll get away with it. But I forgot what I was going to say. That was really good. No. What was I going to say? Oh, gone. I did this last week as well.
Yeah, it's like they say, if somebody thinks you're great, don't look for a second opinion.
No. Just take it and go. take it and go, isn't it? Simple as that.
Yeah.
What's I going to say? Oh, I had a good question then. Fuck. Anyway, I'll move on. But do you teach keyboards?
Not anymore. I got out with my sanity just about intact.
Did you not find, was it not? Was it just too much like hard work, or?
Yeah, okay. I'm one of these people that if I'm teaching and somebody doesn't get it,
I automatically
assume that I'm not teaching them properly.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think,
oh well, maybe they're just not going to be able to play. I think, oh, there must be something I can do. There must be something I can get this into. But the first bit of teaching I did probably scarred me for life because I was teaching for Yamaha.
All right. Big name.
Up on Northumberland Street, just opposite the cafe, the Italian cafe that's on the corner.
Thomas
Watson on the same street.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
It was upstairs there, and it was like groups of 6 or 8 7-year-olds, and you're trying to get them all to play Mary Had a Little Lamb at the same
time. I'm sorry, mate. That must be a nightmare.
Yeah. And like some kid, okay, put your right-hand thumb on middle C. Like, 2 or 3 of them have got it. A couple are trying to figure out middle C. A couple are trying to figure out which is the thumb.
Oh, it didn't mean mad, to be honest.
And it's just, oh.
So how long do you teach for?
With Williams, I did it for about 4 years.
You did it a lot then?
Somebody says, oh, you're a good teacher. I've never had an exam failure.
Well, that speaks well. I mean, to be fair, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
But I did not enjoy it.
Just sure. The thing is, if you don't enjoy it, what's the point, really, isn't it?
Yeah. If somebody wants to sit down with me and say, how would you play that? I'll sit for hours and sort of... But actual trying to construct a formal lesson and hold the attention of groups of kids.
Yeah.
You know, I could never have been an actual teacher because I would have killed somebody.
Right, you lot, fuck off now. You've had your fucking lot. Get out.
Yeah.
It happens, though. I mean, you've got to have the patience, haven't you? And I don't have the patience for that sort of thing. You know, the missus does, but I don't. Of all the, you know, we've met plenty of Sky Legends and stuff Who's been your favourite?
Linville, by a long way. The man is a grade A 24-carat gold gentleman.
He is.
I mean, you took me to York Barbican.
Oh, see the specials. Yeah, that's right.
To see them with Clive, remember that night?
Yeah.
And we sat upstairs afterwards.
Yeah.
Have you met Linville? So, yeah, of course, I see him down the supermarket all the time. Of course, I'm fucking Ted Linville.
But I don't know.
And you called him, was it? Linville, this is Steve. And we just sort of shook hands and he went off with his family.
Yeah.
And he came to, it was either Coventry we saw him again, mm-hmm. or he was there to play with us at London.
Right.
And it must have been 12 months later, and I sort of went up and said, you won't remember, but I met you for a couple of minutes at York. And he said, you're Steve.
Did he? That's fantastic. Yeah. He's terrible.
And I thought, wow. You know,
it was nice, though, isn't it? It's nice.
It was great of me. And I think that he even though you don't, he's only a few seconds that he actually sort of takes note.
it's nice, though, isn't it? It's just nice that they do that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, of course it is. Yeah.
You know, and it's good. It's good press for them as well. You know.
That's right.
And stuff like that. But so with this year, of course, has been absolutely decimated, hasn't it? It's been absolutely so. Have you been missing it?
I got into a routine eventually, but Saturdays for the first few weeks were horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're just saying, I shouldn't be in. I should be out doing something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm finding it now that I just want to get out. I mean, I think the first gig we come back, we'll just go fucking bang. It'll explode. You know what I mean? I think, you know, I know I'm keyed up and whammed up, and I know Mark and Iz and Kev and that lot. You know, we're all itching to do something, aren't we? I mean, what did you think of... Go on, sorry.
Sorry, that one gig we've been able to do.
Well, I was just going to say,
a bad gig.
The Pickering one.
Yes.
So, what did you think of? What did you think of it as a socially distant gig? What was your feelings?
It was a strange one because obviously the band can't be distanced. You've got to be crammed in the same as you always are.
Well, we had been sort of rehearsing for 6-7 weeks, hadn't we? So we were technically a working bubble sort of thing.
That's right. That's right. Mm. But then. The audience started off fairly distant, but as the night went on, they sort of all got closer and closer.
Yeah, Brownie picked up on that. Yeah, once they had a few drinks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when it got bloody colder as well, they were just
freezing. Yeah. It was freezing. But this is the only problem, isn't it?
But what it wasn't a bad gig at all. It could have been a lot worse, let me be brutally honest.
Mm, it could have been. Yeah.
We put some new stuff in. Just about got away with it.
We did, because
your voice was failing that night.
Oh,
well.
Yeah, I had a cough. I was terrible that day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was. I think you wouldn't want them as a. You wouldn't want that to be the future, though, would you?
Oh, good grief, no.
No. It's just not the same. The clapping's nice, and the whooping and whistling's nice. And like you said, the problem is when people had a drink with these social distance events is that they did get closer and they become touchy-feely, which is a natural, it's a natural progression of what happens, isn't it, at these sort of places?
Yeah,
I'm a touchy-feely person. So it's been hard not to give someone a squeeze or a hug or, you know, it's awful, you know, and
you're looking out there and in the car park that size, we would normally have expected 150 people.
Yeah, but of course...
30 or 40 people there.
Yeah, yeah. There's about 50 people, I think. 55, he said. And they had about 100 booked and stuff. But the rain didn't help. And, you know, I think people were starting to get a little bit more paranoid, weren't they?
Yes.
Because things had just started to tail up again, hadn't they, when we did that, I think.
We've both avoided it so far.
Yeah, we have. And there are. I have my own thoughts on it and things like that.
Yes. I'm just bumbling my way through life.
sometimes that's the best way, mate. Believe me, I tell you. Honestly. Right now, we're going to move on to Steve's fourth choice, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, now you talked a bit back about bands who were fucking hated each other and then pulled and managed it together when they were on stage.
Yes.
I think you don't get much better than this band, does it really?
The Eagles.
Yeah. The Eagles.
Most of them were okay. There was one person hated the main two.
Oh, right.
Who hated who then? Well, Don Felder, who was one of the original guitarists, had big problems with both Glenn Frey and Don Henley.
All right.
And once you cross those two, there's no real way.
All right. Because it's a famous relationship, the Eagles, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, did you want me to talk about the song now or wait till afterwards?
Oh, well, you can talk about it now. Yeah, go for it now, yeah.
Okay, I'll go.
What is the song, Steve?
It is specifically the 2004 version of Hotel California.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why 2004?
That's when the Eagles came back after a 14-year gap.
All right.
And the first two gigs back were MTV specials.
Oh.
Which eventually got released as the Hell Freezes Over DVD.
Okay.
And they took Hotel California and reworked it almost as a flamenco.
Ooh.
And the acoustic guitar playing was just absolutely magical. It was so stripped back.
Is that available on YouTube for people to look at?
Yes, I believe it is, yeah.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's just beautiful. Apparently, saying, I read somewhere that Don Felder came up with the whole intro on the morning of the first gig back.
Yeah.
Called them all together. Guys, I've got this. And he added about a minute and a half onto the beginning of the song.
Fucking hell, it's a long song anyway, isn't it?
just on the fly. But it's just such an epic song to start with.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, the whole.
Have you heard the ska version of it?
Yes.
It didn't sound very popular. Yes.
I mean, there was a band did it last year.
Yeah.
Down at Dorset.
Yeah, it was the Communicators, I think it was.
That's them, yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I remember them doing it, yeah.
I think it was an American band called Safe Ferris that did the original, I think.
Right.
Yeah. But you're not impressed with that, are you?
It's got that reggae feel to it.
It has. It has, to be fair. Yeah, you can be adjusted, can't it?
Yeah.
But you're not a big fan of that doing that, are you? Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play the track for you now. This is a reworked Hotel California by the Eagles. Steve Cummins, last choice. Take it away, boys.
twisted. She got the Mercedes Benz. She got a lot of pretty, pretty boys. She calls friends. How they dance in the courtyard. Sweet summer sweat. Some dance to remember. Some dance to forget. So I called up the captain. Please bring me my wine. He said, we haven't had that spirit here since 1969. And still those voices are calling from far.
There you go. The Megatastic Hotel California by, I'm coughing well tonight, Steve. by the Eagles, of course. Here's one for you. You did the arrangement for Live It Up when we did the charity single, the Mental as Anything track. Have you been surprised at its popularity? Our version of its popularity. It's really, really gone down the storm across the world. And we still get, you know, if we put the video up and stuff, and I've seen people sharing the video and it's amazing, you know.
It was always a great song.
Oh, I mean, like I said, it was a classic. It's my guilty pleasure, but fuck it, it's not a guilty pleasure. I love it.
And we kept it pretty close.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to. I think sometimes because you need to have
deliberately.
Yeah, completely deliberately. Yeah.
And if people like what you do, you can't ask for any more.
This is true.
I'm as you've probably guessed by the choices, I'm more of a song person than a band person.
I know what you mean, yeah.
A good song is a good song is a good song.
It's a good song,
whether it's by AC/DC, Darts, The Scorpions, whatever.
Yeah, good, totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, a good song will always sound. And Live It Up is a great song. I used to use it as my opener.
That's on football show. All right, I didn't know that. Have you got that on video?
No, I have not.
Oh, liar.
I knew the song backwards when we came to it.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, we're going to do Live It Up. I thought, okay, I know exactly what to do with this.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. Well, it makes it easy, doesn't it? And the fact, you know, it is a fucking great track. It's just a straightforward, I know it's a pop, it's just a pop song, but there's something about it and I don't know what it is. Yeah. And, you know, and poor old Andrew died last year. Andrew Greedy Smith, who wrote it. But he loved our version. You know, I had an email from him and he really did said, I can't believe I've got a ska version of it. And stuff like that. Which is, I think if the band leader agrees that you've done something spectacular with it, then you've done a good job, haven't you?
Yeah, very
and like,
true.
And like I say, the popularity of it is, in fact, I'm going to play that actually. So I'll play that as we play the show out. I think the popularity shows that, doesn't it? You know,
it does. It does.
Does it surprise you? Does it surprise you? Or is it a case of, well, it was always a good song anyway?
A little bit, but I'm pleased that people responded to it the way I always responded to it, because I always loved the song a bit.
Yes.
And to see how popular it's been, it's pretty heartwarming.
I think one of the best things I like about it is when 6 foot, 20 stone skinners throw their hands in the air and start dancing and singing the words.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Just wait till Dynamite gets in the set.
Oh, I love Dynamite. Yeah. Do you enjoy doing that one?
Yeah. Again, it was a song I'd done with a few other bands, so I knew the song coming into it.
Yeah.
But
it's worked well, hasn't it?
It has. Like I said, it was a very sort of a stereotype feel.
Yes. I said this. Actually, I have a mate who's a big Specials fan, and he said, kind of listen to what you've done, so send to me. And I said, there's two Specials songs there. Can you hear them? And he said, first one, Concrete Jungle. And I said, what's the second one? I said, well, have a listen. And he came back, Stereotype. Ah, good lad.
There's nothing wrong with stealing.
Everything's stolen. Everything.
Of course it is.
Everything. Even when megastars are knocking out classic tracks, you know, you see it, don't you? They've taken it from somewhere else. Because that's how it works. It's about using what influences you, isn't it? You know.
That's right.
You know. What I was gonna say there was Northern Gods, that's the new album, isn't it, right?
Yeah. Well,
we've got the new album, our second album coming out slowly but surely once the doors are back open again. We've got seven rhythm tracks anyway. This obviously, like, we're on about progression and things like that. Obviously, I don't want this to sound like the first album and stuff like that. So
that's right.
Mark's been listening to the Doors and things like that. So obviously, the influences are awesome in that. But have you put that approach to it as well? You know, have you thought, well, I want to think differently, do things differently?
Not to a great extent, no. I've just tried to come up with progressions that were different. I'm fairly routine with the sort of style I write for.
Yeah.
You can always tell, I think, one of mine's a lot of time as opposed to one of Mark's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, of course you can, yeah.
I found, it's simplistic maybe, but if people like it and it works.
Well, the one thing I mentioned before.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. And one thing I mentioned before is the fact that there's so many different writers in the band as well now, which is really interesting.
That's right.
So you're getting different angles all the time. I mean, I think if you look at Dave McNiff, who's a great arranger, isn't he?
He is.
He, some of his stuff's been, like Sahara and what's the other thing? Cutlass and things like that. You know, it's.
Yes. I always said if you wanted something quick and simple, I got the job to arrange it. If you wanted something complex, then you give it to David.
We'd take 6 months over it.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about it. That's what I like about the fact that everybody's embraced the aspect of writing their own original stuff. They've got the bug, you know. And I mean, I spoke to Steve last week and he said he's got the song he's got, Action Speak Loud and Words. Is that one of his?
That's another one we put together.
Is that done?
The track has been done for a while.
All right, okay.
I think. I'll have to go through the MuseScore files and find it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it, you know.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot coming out in there between everybody, isn't there? Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and that's one of ours. I think that's one of our parts of our. I won't say the word success and stuff, but about what we do and the way it works. You know, I think that's one of our prime things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've got so much different input.
That's right. And it'll also sound different because there's lineup changes from the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the great things about the Scapones has been the fact that there are so many people who have stood in for times or taken over. There's a long line of depths there. I mean, we're on to the fifth drummer, even in my time.
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of sat and thought about it earlier on. You sort of say, well, for absolute metronomic timekeeping, whether it was right or wrong, you couldn't be talking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as a music man in the band, you'll know this. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Power,
Gary was fucking immense.
Talent was Christian, but technique is Michael because he's got the style.
Michael's got the style. He really is different. For me, he's the best. So for me personally.
Yes,
because
I've only mentioned four. I'm not going on to the fifth.
Ladies and gentlemen, quickly move away from that. Leave that in that box, Matt. Don't open over there. But
nice book.
Don't talk to me anymore. But there we go. Don't talk to any of us. He was always, but you know, he was always right. Bless him. Unfortunately.
I told you after one rehearsal it wasn't right.
I pretty much knew it, but I like to give people a fair cry. The fact I had to sack him says it all.
Yeah. that night in Reading was grim.
Yeah, it was grim. Especially with the song, which was ours as well, you know. And
yeah, you know, Ghost of Me.
Yeah, Ghost of Me. Well, you know, history is history, and you know, things have to be done. Yeah. But I think we've got a great lineup at the moment. I think with Kev on bass as well.
I think so.
You know, Kev's injected a lovely sense of humour into the band and has lifted it, and it's just after a dark few months, and it's been great. You know, they've got a good atmosphere, and that's what it's all about. You know, we just need to get out and do it again, don't we?
Yeah.
Right. I think that's it, mate. I think we're done. I thank you very, very much for joining me through the wonders of the internet. And so what have you got lined up this week? Anything?
Absolutely nothing.
I was going to say, when they release the lockdown, no one's going to be bothered because no one's done anything, because it's just not like, so it feels like we've been in tier whatever it is forever, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, that's it. I dragged the exercise bike out the garage and I try and do
it. How's it going? How's it going?
I have to look after my back and my knees, so I'm finding I can do 3 sort of 20 minute.
That's pretty much that's all you need to do, because it will help strengthen as well.
That's
You know.
That's right.
And it'll be good for you, to, you know, and fitting body, fitting mind, you'll feel fit for gigs. Yeah. It'll be, you know, that's what you should be doing. Yeah, exactly. Oh, good. Fair play to you. It's, I'm doing a lot of cycling, obviously, but, you know, it's all good for the head as well, you know.
Avoiding car doors.
Oh, tough. I saw that woman this morning, you know.
Yeah.
I got pain in my elbows. I drove past her. Anyway, I digress. But no, thanks for being here tonight. It's been awesome. And listen to bits of bastards to your tunes. Yeah, a pleasure indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, please put your hand together, please, for Steve Currens. There you go. One clap for you. I'll fix it on the edit. Right. Take care, my friend. And I'll speak to you soon. All right.
See you soon. Yeah, you be good.
And you. See you later. Tonight, mate. Bye-bye.
Then listen to the Scarpone's Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.